If you have your Bibles tonight, if you would, turn to the book of John chapter number 20. You're going to find that this is a very familiar scripture that we're going to read, and we're going to cover just about every bit of the chapter tonight, if the Lord's will. As you're looking for it, I want to tell you a little story that'll go along with this message. There was a little boy about 5 years old, and he was watching his mother cook supper one night. And as he was watching her cook supper, she looked around the kitchen and she couldn't find what she was looking for, but he didn't know what it was. He said, "Mama, what do you need?" She said, "Son, I need you to go in the pantry, and I need you to get me a can of tomato soup." He said, "But Mama, it's so dark and scary in the pantry." She said, "Son, you don't have to be scared. Jesus is always with you." So the little boy inches his way towards the pantry, and he opens the door, and he peeks around the corner, and he says, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me a can of tomato soup?" Folks, whenever we're scared, whenever we're worried, whenever there's so many things coming our way that's got us fearing and trembling, we don't have to be scared because Jesus is always with us. That's good news tonight. That song, they just blessed my heart so much. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. You know what? No one's ever been there like Jesus. No one's ever cared like Jesus. No one's ever loved me and done for me what Jesus has done. Jesus has been so good. He's done so much more than anyone else could ever do. But if you have your Bibles to John chapter number 20, if you don't mind to stand out of reverence to God's Word, we'll read starting off with verse number 19. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you tonight. Father, I want to thank you for this Holy Ghost that is here with us. Father, I want to thank you for sending that Comforter. Lord, I want to thank you for loving us. Lord, I want to thank you for caring for us and for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. And Father, as we read your Word, our hearts are blessed and are humbled tonight, knowing, Father, that we couldn't do this without you. So, Father, as I stand, once again, I can't stand without your help. I can't preach without your help. So, Father, I'm asking you to use your servant as I stand behind this sacred desk. Help me to never lead a soul astray, but, Father, to always obey your will. Lord, preach me and help me, Father, as I stand. It's in Jesus' precious name, and we love you. And amen and amen. You can be seated. So this little boy was so scared of this pantry because it was dark. That seems silly, don't it? It seems silly that he would be afraid of the dark, knowing that he lives in this home and the rest of the home is fine, but the pantry is so scary. The pantry seems so dark and so lonely, and it's cold in there and it doesn't feel right. And he was so scared, but Jesus was with him and it would be okay. There's so many times in our life that we face things that we get scared and we get worried and it's so dark. Yeah. But Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us in these times, and he cares for us in these times. And no matter what age you are, no matter how young or how old, fear can be paralyzing. Fear is paralyzing. It paralyzes me. When I'm afraid, when I'm worried, when I'm upset, I'm paralyzed. I can't do anything. I'm robbed and I'm hindered. I'm hindered from doing God's will, and I'm hindered from progress, and it robs you of joy, and it robs you of enthusiasm, and it robs you of freedom. Fear is so strong, and the devil knows that, and he wants to send things your way. And then it gets even worse, because it isn't just the devil. Sometimes it's this right here. Our mind begins to work, and our mind begins to run, and it begins to play, and it begins to do things, and we begin to think things, and when we scare ourselves even more, and this fear, it halts all progress of life. It halts all the work of a believer. It halts all the enthusiasm. It halts everything that we can do because we're scared, we're terrified. In these times, we must remind ourselves of what the Scripture tells us, that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. He will go with us always, even unto the end of the world. We have to remind ourselves that He's always there. Well, here we are. It's a scary time for the disciples. After the death of Jesus, his disciples are here and are gathered, the Bible says here, in fear. They had followed him for so long, but now he had been killed by his own people. His own people, the Jews. The people that he was born into had put him to death, and for all they knew, he was going to do the same to them. In fact, if you go on into the book of Acts, you're going to find that had Saul found them, that's exactly what he would have done. They were worried. They were afraid. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's scary to be a Christian today. It's scary to be a Christian today. But you know what's even scarier? Not being a Christian today. How do you say it's scarier to not be a Christian? Because I believe with all my heart that before that clock strikes 12 o'clock midnight, we could all be called away. I believe with all my heart that the trumpet could sound. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because the last day started when he said it is finished. We were living in the last days at the moment that Jesus closed his eyes in death. He said this generation would not pass. Folks, it's been a pretty good long generation. It could happen any time. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible tells us. So I've got 3 points tonight for you that I'd like to bring out with help of the Lord. The first one is, when Jesus appeared to his followers. When Jesus appeared to his followers. Verse number 19 said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. When Jesus appeared to his followers, here's what was going on. 4 main thoughts to this. This was a time of discouragement. We go back a chapter before this, in one verse, verse number 30 in chapter 19. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That was a discouraging time. From that moment on, it was discouraging for the disciples. Say, preacher, how can you say it was discouraging? We read in the Bible and we know the truth. We know that Jesus was supposed to come to die. Yeah, but when it really happened, it hit home. We know that the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die. But what about when it's time for it to happen? It's a little different when it's actually knocking on your door. They knew that Jesus would eventually die, but it was a little bit different when he actually did it. My children know that if they push me and they don't listen to me and they don't respect me, that there are going to be consequences. But it doesn't get so serious until it's time to pay the consequences. Things get serious when the time comes. It was a time of discouragement for the disciples. They were discouraged because the man that they had followed had just been killed. This was a time of confusion for the disciples. Look back in the first verse of chapter number 20. We're going to read a little bit here. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. This is a time of confusion. I know Jesus is dead because I watched him die. I know that we put him in that tomb because I helped carry him. I heard Joseph of Arimathea say, he can have my tomb. We knew this happened. We watched him wrap his body up. We saw them put the stone in front of the tomb, and we seen the guards as they guarded it to make sure that this didn't happen. But where is he? Where is Jesus? And why did they leave his grave clothes? And why did they leave a napkin? Of all the confusing things, why would they fold up this napkin and lie it at the head of the tomb? We know what the napkin means. We know when they fold the napkin, he's coming back. But why? It's confusing. Why is this happening? Who took him? Where is he gone? Where is Jesus? This was a confusing time for his people. This was a time of uncertainty. Going on into verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And that word without, you know what that means? She was stunned. She didn't have any idea what to say. She was without words. She was without. She didn't have words to express how she felt. She just cried. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus, I love that word. That word had. You know why I like that word? Because that's past tense. You know why I like that word is because it means it ain't happening anymore. It isn't there anymore. It's a thing of the past. He used to be there. His body used to lay there, but it don't lay there anymore. Said that the body had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. But what an experience. What an experience. I was talking to the kids this morning in children's church. And what we talked about is how to be an example. And I use the duck. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it has webbed feet like a duck, it's probably a duck. So when people would describe us and they describe our actions and they describe our communication, they describe our faith, they describe the way that we act, would they call us a Christian? You say that's pretty big teaching for these kids. They're ready. They understand. They see what conviction is. They know what the Bible is. Maybe if we would take care of these things when they're younger, we wouldn't have to worry about it when they're older. But as I was talking to him, I said, you don't understand. You may be the only Jesus that people have in their life. You need to understand that when you open that door for that person that has their hands full, that may be the only Jesus that they get that day. Or whenever somebody's down and they're hurting and you offer an arm, or you offer a shoulder, you offer a helping hand or some kind words of encouragement, that may be the only Jesus they get that day. We take it for granted that all of these other people, they go to church, they hear the Word of God, they were raised in church. That's not always the case. Sometimes we've got to be the only Jesus that people know. Folks, I believe with all my heart that there have been times in my life where somebody else was the Jesus I needed that day. Somebody else praying for me. Somebody else encouraging me. You know why? Because I was too stubborn to listen to Almighty God. Because I was too stubborn to get into His Word to get the encouragement and the help and the instruction that I needed. This day, she was in the midst of Jesus and had no idea. So, she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? I bet he just wanted to hear it, don't you? He just wanted to hear it. Sometimes it's good to go to God. You know why? Because God wants to hear from you. He just wants to hear from you. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Just took one word, though, didn't it? Jesus saith unto her, Mary. I'd love to have heard the tone of that, wouldn't you? I mean, how? I think about my personality, but I wonder about the personality of Jesus. My personality would be like, Mary, it's me. But I have to think that Mary, or that Jesus just walked down and looked at her and said, Mary. Just that sweet, soft touch. Mary. Boy, sometimes that's all we need, ain't it? To know that the Master would call out our name. I'm glad to know that He'll call out our name. He calls out our name every time He makes intercession with His Father. He calls out our name every time that we need a helping hand and we go unto Him. I'm glad that sometimes the peace that we get is just Jesus calling out our name. Elijah had a still small voice experience. Now Mary's had a still small voice experience. Mary, she turned to herself and says unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. It was a time of uncertainty, but Miss Mary sure felt pretty certain now, didn't she? Amen. Guys, you'll never believe this. I stayed back when you all ran back to tell everybody what happened. And as I sat there on the ground weeping, I saw two men. And they were wearing white and they began to ask me, why are you crying? Why are you so upset? And I said, because they've taken him away. They've taken my Jesus. They've taken the man that saved me from the life of sin that I was living. And I don't know where he's at. And there was this man came along. It didn't even look like Jesus. I couldn't tell who he was. And I asked him, I said, sir, if you'll just tell me where you put him, I'll come get him. I'll take him out of your hands. I'll take care of this. And then he spoke, and it was him. It was Jesus. It was really Jesus. And it wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus, and it was an alive Jesus. I know he died. I know he gave up the ghost. I know that we carried his lifeless body, but he was alive as if he had never even died. He was alive. That uncertainty changed just now to certainty, but it was still a time of fear, wasn't it? No matter how discouraged they had been, how confused they had been, how uncertain they had been, they were still worried. Jesus is out there somewhere. They've already killed him. We're not the Son of God. We can't come back. We can't come back to life. So we have to lock ourselves behind these closed doors so the Jews don't find us and kill us too. It was a time of fear. So it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the disciples were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. They were afraid. It was a time of fear. But Jesus came and said, peace be unto you. I'm going to tell you, if he can speak and say peace to the storm, he can say peace to the soul. And whenever he speaks to the storm, if the winds and the waves have to cease, then all the fear and the turmoil and the worry and doubt in our soul has to stop. If he says peace to the soul, if he says peace to the servant, then all the worry and the fear has to come to an end. Folks, Jesus said, peace be unto you. So it goes on, and we look, and as we see how this turns out, Jesus explains that he had died. He had really had the nails in his hands, and he had really had the spear in his side, and he had really died. But they were afraid. They were so afraid. Let's look back just for a minute here to 1 Kings chapter number 19. There's another time when fear took over in somebody's life. Starting in verse number 2, it says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Elijah, boy, what a powerhouse. What a powerhouse he was. But a little bit of fear got in and it stopped his ministry, didn't it? It put a halt to his ministry because Jezebel had threatened him. Folks, there's going to be times in our life, I don't care how strong of a believer you are, where you're going to get scared. There's going to be fear. And it's going to put a halt to you. But you need to remember that Jesus is in the midst. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear and doubt that it's all going to work out. Jesus is right there with you. No matter what happens, Jesus is right there with you. It stopped one of the Lord's mightiest followers right dead in his tracks. Folks, when we're terrified and hiding in fear, only Jesus can bring peace. This takes us on to our second point, which is what Jesus showed his followers. Why did Jesus, or when Jesus appeared to his followers, he found them discouraged and uncertain and fearing. But now, let's look at what he shows his followers. Verse number 20 says, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." He showed them what had been done to him. He showed them what he had really seen and what he had really been through and how that things had been for him. And they knew, hey, he ain't dead anymore. He ain't dead anymore. Wonder what kind of a realization that was for those disciples. Wonder what kind of a realization it was for the people when they saw Lazarus and they said, "Hey, I heard you died." "I did." "Well, what happened?" "I ain't dead no more." Amanda sings a song and it reminds me that any time I talk about Lazarus or the resurrection, "I walked by the tomb of Buddha. I looked inside and saw his bones. I traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to the garden where old Joseph left him lay. Was the precious lamb God's only begotten? He was no longer in the grave." No matter what grave you go to, every single one of them have contents except that one. Every grave has contents except that one. What was there is there no more. Why? Because he's alive. He's alive. John chapter 2 tells us this, starting in verse number 19. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. At this point in time, the disciples go back and say, "Oh yeah, I remember. I remember when he said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll rebuild it." I remember when they questioned him. He wasn't talking about a building. He wasn't talking about a synagogue. He wasn't talking about the standing temple. He was talking about his body. All this time he was talking about his body and he's alive. Look at what Jesus showed him. Look at what Jesus showed the followers. They saw that, and I want to use this word. I like this word, okay? This is a good word here, the word really, okay? Because a lot of times I'll look at my kids and I'll tell them something, "Really? Yeah, really. Jesus really is alive," okay? So I'm going to use this word a few times here. They saw that he really had been beaten. They looked at his hands and they looked at his side. They looked at what was going on with his body and it's still in its present state. He saw that he really had been beaten. Going on, they saw that he really had been crucified. They watched these soldiers as they beat these nails in his hands. We paint the cross as such a beautiful picture. Folks, it's only a beautiful picture to my soul. But the thought in my mind and the thought to see it with my eyes, it's the most gruesome, effective thing you can ever see. You say, "Well, preacher, why would you want to bring it up?" Because I think it would do a whole lot of sinners a whole lot of good to have actually seen the process of crucifixion. Because I'm going to tell you what it did for me. Seeing the process and studying the process and hearing what it actually done to the body, it made me realize something. He didn't just die for me. He didn't just die because we could die quickly. People die in car wrecks. People die of heart attacks. People die of diseases. People die in wars. He didn't just die for me. He took on the most humiliating, the most painful, the worst possible death that you can imagine just to pay a price I couldn't pay, just to pay off my debt. It kind of gives you a different picture when you see it in that view. They saw that he really had been crucified. They saw that he really had died. Say, how do you know they knew that he was dead? Who do you think carried him to his tomb? Who do you think wrapped him up? The same people that was on their way to bring spices to pour over his body so he wouldn't stink and he could be dead in dignity. the disciples, his followers, they felt the lifeless body. They heard him say it was finished, and they listened to that last breath. They knew about the curtains over at the Holy of Holies in the temple that ripped in twain. They knew about the earthquake, and they knew that they had saw that soldier get down on his hands and feet and say this, or hands and knees and say, this was the Son of God. They knew that he had really died. But at this moment in time, they knew that he really is alive. This is what Jesus showed them. This is what Jesus shows us at the moment that we feel conviction, not at the moment we're saved. Jesus is as real to you when you're convicted as he is when you're saved. At the moment of conviction, you are shown that, hey, he is alive. And I don't feel too good about it. That's why you get saved. He really is alive. He really is here, and he really is in our midst. Jesus is alive. In those times of great fear and uncertainty, Jesus will manifest himself to you. You're going to get scared. Let me just take it. If you've never been scared, you're going to get scared. You're going to have moments in your life where you don't know where to make the next turn. You know, I've never told this here, but I'm going to tell you all a story of how this church has been a blessing. In fact, I think my wife is the only person in this church that knows this. Around last Christmas time, Brother Rick had came to me on a Sunday morning and said, would you preach for us tonight? And I said, oh, absolutely, I'd love to. And I got up and I preached and my heart was heavy. I was broken and there was a reason. I wasn't getting any remodeling work and I was working at the post office, but not very much. I didn't have any money and my kids wasn't going to have any Christmas. And that night, as the service was closing, Brother Rick said, the Lord's laid on my heart to take up an offering for my brother. At that moment, I said, Lord, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. You've already blessed me just by laying that on his heart. And that night, I was given an offering enough to pay for my children's Christmas. You know why? Because Jesus was with me. Because he was present. Because he knew the pain that I was feeling, the fear that I had in my life. You know how hard it was to stand and preach about a faithful God? You say, preacher, I'm just being real with you right now. Preacher, it's real too, ain't it? Brother Steve, we're still men, ain't we? We still worry. We still doubt. We still fear. But God provided again. And again, and again, and again, like he always provides. And I don't care if it's the 11th hour or the first hour. God always provides because he's always there. It was scary, but God, in one moment, that fast, he used his servant. He used his man. And he came through for me and my family like he always does. God is good. And Jesus is alive. But you're going to face times that you're going to be scared and you're going to have fear. But Jesus is there. Coming to my last point here, we've seen when Jesus appeared to his followers and what Jesus showed his followers, but now why Jesus came to his followers. Verses 19 through 22 tells the story of what happened. But let's break it down. First of all, he came to bring peace. In verse 19, he said, peace be unto you. They were afraid, and he said, peace be unto you. Notice that here's the best part. What does it say they were doing? When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, what's that tell you they were doing? They were hiding. They were hiding. Did anybody know where they were at? No. Had anybody known where they were at, they would have done came in and got them out and probably killed them. Nobody knew where they were. They were hiding. But I didn't see one time where Jesus had to ask for directions on how to get to them. Did y'all read that? Did y'all read where Jesus went looking for them? No, he went straight to them and he found them. You know why? Because it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter how far away from God you may feel. It doesn't matter. God knows where you're at, even when you are lost. Jesus knows where you are, and that's why that in your deepest and darkest times, he can call upon your heart. So we don't have to fear because we're still not hiding from him. We're still not too far away for him to find us. God is good. He is so good. He came to bring peace. He came to bring proof. Verse number 20, he showed unto them his hands and his side. You don't believe it's me? Look. Could you imagine looking at a man's hand and seeing all the way through it? That's what they did. I can imagine how Thomas felt. Well, I'm not going to believe it's him until I rub my hand over his hands and I thrust my hand into his side. Well, then he gets the opportunity. And he says, oh, Master, it's you. It really is you. At this moment, they all had a doubting Thomas experience. They all saw his hands and they saw his side and they knew this really is Jesus. He came to bring proof. I told you that I would come again. I told you that I would return. I told you the grave couldn't hold me. So here I am. So he brought proof. He came to bring purpose. Notice in verse number 21, Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me. There was a purpose. Let's not forget, his Father did not just send him to die. He sent him to be born, to live, and to die. He sent him for you. He sent him for me. There was a purpose to Jesus being here as long as he was. What would we do without the Beatitudes, without the Sermon on the Mount? What would we do without the miracles that we read throughout the four Gospels? What would we do if we didn't have the story of him raising the dead and healing the sick, causing the lame to walk? What would we do if we didn't have the disciples to look to whenever we want to try to get personal? It's hard to get personal with Jesus, ain't it? You say, well, preacher, he's the Son of God. Well, they're not. But they followed the Son of God. So we can be on their level. And you know what they had to do? They had to believe no matter what the circumstance. Folks, that's what you've got to do, no matter how fearful and how scary it may be. You've got to believe no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. You have to believe. You have to believe and know that he is alive. He came to bring power. He closes in verse number 22. He says, it says that he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He gave them power at that moment. Folks, I'm going to tell you, every time I stand, every time Brother Rick stands, every time Brother Steve stands, you know, I'm going to go as far as even your Sunday school teachers. I'll guarantee you that every time that Brian comes, I'm going to guarantee you that every one of us will say that we have to rely on something much greater than us before we can speak. Do you know why I ran from God when he wanted me to preach? Because I couldn't speak publicly. I couldn't speak. I got scared. I literally couldn't get it out of my mouth. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to preach me because I can't do it. That's why when I pray, whenever I get up to preach, I always make sure I say, I can't do this without you because I know that I can't do this without him. You say, what'd he do? Calm your nerves? Absolutely not. This is the scariest place you'll ever be in your life. You know why? Because you are dealing with the souls of man. But that's a good thing. Ain't no place I'd rather be. But he came to give them power. Power that you and I possess by accepting salvation. We receive the Holy Spirit. We look throughout this whole scenario here. And we keep asking ourselves, why did he do this? Well, because they followed him and they were scared. What happens if we don't follow him and we're scared? Well, we've got to take a trip down another road. We have to understand that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to understand the consequence of that sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we have to understand that salvation is a very free and a very simple process. People want to make it hard. It's not that hard. I'm going to tell you, if your heart's broken and you want to be saved, it is very simple. It doesn't take some big repeat after me prayer. All it takes is you believing with your heart the Lord Jesus and confessing with your mouth that God hath raised him from the dead. That's all it takes. You admit that you're a sinner and you need Jesus. It's pretty simple. You know why? I'll tell you why it's simple. Because I was able to do it. If it got too complicated, I couldn't do it. But Jesus is alive. And there's going to be scary times. But as long as he's alive, he's with you. I don't know the whole purpose of this message tonight. I don't know why. Maybe it was just for me to feel good. Knowing that no matter what happens, he's alive. In fact, there's been a whole lot of free stuff y'all got with this one. But I'll tell you this. Because he's alive, I don't have to be afraid. So I'd like to ask everybody, if you would, just bow your head and close your eyes just for a minute.